Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Woodman Corner, the West Bromwich Albion podcast that should come out every week, but we're not all that good at it. I am Graham Brown and I'm here with Kieran Duda.
Hiya Graham, how are you?
Yeah, great, thank you. And today we're going to be doing a few things. We're 10 games in, so we're going to be using that football cliche of judging people after 10 games. We're going to start off by talking about Big Dave, the boss, about how he's doing so far, and then we'll go on to all the players that we signed in the summer and what we think of them. Because I mean, it really is a kind of a mixed bag between the sublime and the ridiculous, really, it appears to be to me. But let's start off with Darren Moore. So, I mean, we sit here top of the league, so that means he's brilliant, doesn't it, Kieran? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's not the finished article, obviously, but I think, you know, we could do a lot worse. There was this slight arrogance, I think, for want of a better word, when we come down that we'd walk the league, we'd walk every game.
Yeah.
I think we need to remember that, you know, he's learning on the job. He's got a team that are working on a completely new system. They're in a new league with new challenges, and they're going along, and you know, they're doing enough to be top of the league, so it can't be that bad. You know, there will be parts of the season where it goes wrong. I just think Albion fans are quite quick to jump on his throat at the minute, a lot of them, from what you see in fan groups and stuff. Give him time and leave him with it, and the longer they work on a new system, the better they'll get. I mean, you know, God help the league when we do actually start playing well. We're still top now, and you know, we haven't exactly set the league alight, really, apart from, you know, the goals.
Well, prepare yourself up. But this is, I'm about to probably utter the most fickle 90 seconds that I'll ever do in my life, because we are top of the league. So I'll start off, yeah, I started this season by saying that I think if Albion are going to go up this year, it's going to be after they sack Darren Moore. I do think probably I'm in time enough to kind of row back against this, but I still have some concerns about him. So I'm going to come on to the good things in a minute. But I would contest, it's still the case that our new management team have never tactically changed a game for the good this season in either 10 league games or any of the cup games. I mean, I really felt this after Crystal Palace, which kind of annoyed me. But I would particularly point at Blues, in which we were basically machine gun from the start by rolling the ball out and kind of give it away. And I found it terrifically concerning that after half time we didn't do anything about it. And I'd say a similar thing about Middlesbrough. But I've got to have to eat a bit of humble pie. I mean, the truth is, I think there's still a lot to be proven. But already you can say, as compared to, let's say, the two that have come down, Rowett at Stoke and Potter at Swansea, he's dealt with huge change better than they have now. We're 10 games in, it's time to judge. And the thing you can say is, you know, it seems imperfect, but he's managed that change, you know. I don't know whether or not there's some benefit from having him at the end of last season, and there was already kind of a the ball was sort of rolling. But I mean, when you think of all things that have to go through, for instance, you know, players desperate to leave, the likes of Dawson, which you know, he's managed that very, very well. I think considering how terrible Albion were last year, given but then under Alan Pardew, I would say in terms of the 11. I've got to give him credit. He's kind of turned it round and kept together as well as possible. I think there's been some questionable recruitment, which we'll come to. But exactly what you said, he's brought in a new system. He's managed to embed a new system while getting to the top of the league. I mean, I think there's been more than a bit of luck to that. But getting to the top of the league, and you just cannot say that of Gary Rowett and Graham Potts, who still haven't sorted out Stoke and Swansea.
There's also the argument that he stopped the change that everyone knew the change was coming. He's asked the board to back him in the sense of keeping the bulk of the squad together rather than starting again.
Yeah.
I don't think that would have happened if Moore was
do you
there.
Think he's asked? I don't know. That might be true. I mean, I do feel that Albion's inability to buy and sell in the summer saved us from ourselves. Because we had better... The problem was Pardew. The players weren't as bad as they looked.
Yeah.
And, you know, keeping the likes of Rodriguez and Dawson and even, you know, Livermore and even Hegazi, they still are probably better than we were capable of replacing them with.
Yeah. You know, there's this argument that the board didn't back him. I think they did, but in the sense of keeping the squad he won. I think he did go in and ask, if we can keep the bulk of this squad, we don't need to do that much with it. He's bought youth in just to tinker against the core of the squad. And it's worked wonders so far. So.
Quite the thing. But I was saying the other day, maybe this is roasted spectacles, but I was thinking in the other years when we've gone up, we almost never got, mullered. Like a real kind of tatering. I could be wrong, but I don't really remember it under Megs. And certainly, you know, when they dropped down and came back again, I don't really remember it under Mowbray. And when I say Mullard, I actually mean games that we didn't even lose. But I mean, we were properly tated against Blues. We just weren't in the game at all.
That is a con next to his name, really. That he hasn't, you know, there's no plan B, is there, at the minute?
I don't
think
feel so.
Part of the issue is that, you know, the squad we've got, a couple of injuries, and we are struggling. There's, you know, he's got that starting 11. I'd say three subs that are going to be able to drop in.
Yeah.
That would make a difference. And other than that, he hasn't got a lot to work with.
Although, on the flip side of that, and again, I've eaten humble pie, and I think I've probably understated Darren Moore's abilities, and certainly kind of the hints of. But what I would say is, the flexibility is there in terms of the personnel. So, you know, so for instance, as I've said on this podcast before, Jay Rodriguez is an exceptional player to link sort of wide midfield and up front. Harvey Barnes can play right across the piece. Matt Phillips is a phenomenon, really, when you think that he can effectively play in kind of any wide position. And I wouldn't mind betting he wouldn't be bad up front either. We've got such inbuilt flexibility in this team that we don't use. You know, you don't see him move Harvey Barnes during a game. You don't. Jay Rodriguez frustrates me, and particularly the Middlesbrough games. I think some kind of tactical ineptitude was exposed a little bit there, because we brought on Morrison, and maybe this was designed, but I don't think it was. Morrison just is a bit of a deeper lying player than Barnes, and it made such a big difference. It was like we had a midfield three rather than a two. I don't know why we can't use Rodriguez more, for instance, like that. I don't know why we can't, you know, at times see an opportunity to move Barnes wider and so on, but we don't. And again, it's churlish because we're top of the league, but I think, again, I'd agree with you that that you don't get a sense of a plan B or any kind of tactical movement mid-game.
Well, the thing is, at the minute, plan A is working, isn't it, on the whole?
Yeah.
So I don't think he's had to change it that much, other than the games mentioned, but, you know, 9 times out of 10, Albion are in control, really. I mean, they will concede, but you know they're going to score.
I think that's an interesting turn. I feel like Albion are almost never in control.
I think they control the game a lot of the time.
Albion weren't in control at Preston. They scored more than large parts they were. I felt like we were more likely to score, but we weren't dictating the nature of the game.
I think it's more the fact that as soon as the opposition have possession, every Albion fans will win straight away.
Yeah, maybe it's
how
there,
bad the defence is. I think, if you look at the game in general, we do seem to not control, that's probably the wrong word, but we don't really seem to be troubled, and then out of nowhere we concede. That's the worry at the minute. I think there's a lot of pressure on the front two to keep scoring. If that stops or one of them gets injured, we are in trouble, and I think Moore knows that himself.
Well, we'll get out of it, but I just couldn't be any happy with Dwight Gale. It's kind of a core part of it. But anyway, yes. Because just to go back on that fifth, I think Darren Moore's done some things superbly, and I'm really, really, you know, like everyone else, I kind of hope it works out for him. And it shouldn't be understated that he's kind of got the amount of sort of unravelling of Alan Pardew's mess that's already now kind of clearly confirmed is really impressive. Really, you know. We all said at the start of the season how good Stoke look and that sort of thing, and yet they're still kind of a withering mess.
There's also the argument we're all desperate to see entertaining games with loads of goals. Now we've got it, we want less goals.
Yeah,
we want to concede. So
everyone,
you know,
wants to know what
you got to find a happy medium, haven't you? But.
So let's talk about the players. I mean, so we didn't do as much business as we thought we would, but I mean, we do see the impact of of the recruitment on the team, and we'll should we loosely go through it in terms of their cost. Let's do it that way. So that would start, I think, with Sam Johnston. So, what do you think?
I think coming in after Ben Foster, I think people realise now how good a keeper he was.
Yeah.
We do miss his commanding presence. The back three now, I do think they'd play a lot better with him behind them. With Sam Johnston now, I do think over time he'll get better. We saw at Villa actually, both seasons he started really slowly.
Yes, that's right.
And the more he plays, I just think, you know, he's still quite young. Maybe he just needs to get that consistency from the day dot in the season. But, you know, he is getting a lot better than the first couple of games. He didn't look comfortable at all, did he? He was weak on his right hand side and he just wasn't commanding the defenders. But he's just getting, he seems to be getting more confident as the weeks go by. And he, to be honest, he's, you know, one of the better keepers in the league, if not the best.
It's boring, this is because I think exactly what you think. I mean, I think this, you know, it was always going to be, you know, following Ben Foster is always going to be like the guy who followed Alex Ferguson at Man United, really. He's the best goalkeeper we've ever had. And it so happens it's been played out because, I mean, he's playing great for Watford and getting kind of national plaudits for him. No, I agree. And I think Sam Johnston, because, I mean, a lot of these things are really about personality. He seems to have the right kind of personality to be a commanding goalkeeper. I just think, you know, he's a young man who's got a, with new defenders in front of him. So that's kind of got a bed in. Yeah, I mean, I think exactly the same as you. I think in time he'll prove to be a good signing. I think, but he wasn't a terrific sign. But yeah, I remember some fallout when we pointed out his flaws when he played for Villa at the start of the season.
Yeah,
once or twice. So next, I guess in that line, actually, if we talk about cost, go on, Bartley. Yes, I've got some stuff to say about Bartley. Mm. What do you think?
See, Bartley's he's a middle of the road kind of signing, isn't he? He's not setting it alight, but at the same time he's not noticeably worse than the players alongside him, I wouldn't say so.
Really?
Not really. I do think, you know, himself, you know, he's never played in a three in his career. If you look back, he's always on the other side of the back four as well to what he's playing at West Brom.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I do think he's, you know, he's learning as he goes as well a little bit. You know, he just seems to, he doesn't read the game as he, I think we've been spoilt, really. We've watched Evans, who was really calm and saw things before they happened.
Yeah.
You know, and now we can see how good they were. And Bartlett, you know, he's not the worst defender, but he's looking worse because of what we're used to over the last few seasons.
Well, I would say the one thing you can say for Carl Bartley is he makes Higazi look good. I have nightmares about Bartley. I hate how much he holds people's shirts through the game. I hate it.
Yeah,
and the second we get a penalty for that, I'm going to go absolutely spare because it's so obviously coming.
Yeah.
I can't stand that. I think exactly what he said. He doesn't seem to be able to read the game. And I don't really buy the three. I get the three-man defense, and I get that it's new and that sort of thing. But, I mean, actually, I feel like he'd be more exposed in a two because he doesn't read the game. At least there's someone behind him. I'm worried about Bartley. And I mean, I was worried about it from when we signed him, really, because I felt like, why were Swansea selling their third-choice centre-half when they also sold their first and second choice? Clearly, they would have needed, like, but yeah, they sold Mawson and Fernandes in there.
Yeah.
Why did they let him go? And I feel like the reason they let him go is because he's just not that good. I really hope to be proven wrong about this, but I worry about Bartley. And to the extent where we've spent hours slagging off Higazi on this, but now, if Albion would sign another, you know, if they're getting James Collins or someone on a free, it would be Bartley I'd want to leave, not Higazi. I never
thought I'd say that, but I do agree with you.
Well, I mean, if you'll say it, it must be true. So, what do you think? That's a sub question. Bartley or Higazi?
See, over the last few weeks, Higazi does seem to be improving, doesn't he?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
I think there's been a lot of work. Bartley would probably be the one you'd have to drop, wouldn't it, at the minute?
I think so. And like you say, I mean, to be fair, the thing I do agree about is that kind of natural balance. I mean, they could really do with with someone more comfortable on that side.
Do you not think, like, Adara Bayo would be a better fit than Bartley as well, given that, you know, he's a ball playing defender, isn't he? He's confident.
I guess, although he hasn't seized his opportunities terrifically in League Cup games. I mean, I really think I assume that the signing of Sacco is about concern about Barnes going and blah blah blah, but I really find it incredible, really, that they're bringing in players, you know, Houlihan and who I think this is a good sign, don't get me wrong, and Sacco, which is fine, do it, but I find it amazing that anyone can be looking at Albert's games and thinking what we really need to do is bring on someone for Harvey Barnes when we've got, you know, one, arguably two centre-halves to play every second every game. that are very, very questionable. Yeah. And I would be surprised if there wasn't a free transfer defender out there that isn't better than Carl Bartley, personally.
Who would that
James be? Collins, I would say.
Do you think so?
Yeah,
I think Carl Bartley looks though. Terrible. If you think of the amount of times Albin end up facing their own goal,
yeah,
it'd be very slow.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very easy to say, and it has been well said that McCauley would make a better fist of it. But
oh yeah,
I kind of feel like he would. Anyway, I think Bartley's got everything to prove, personally. Yeah. So let's go next to Harvey Barnes. So what do you think of him?
He's just a revelation. It's going to be heartbreaking watching him go back to Leicester. He is. You know, he's the most exciting player since, I'd say, Jason Kumas, easily.
Yeah.
And we haven't had a player like that for a while, really.
No.
I mean, we've had technically gifted players, we've had, you know, exciting players to watch, but someone that picks up the ball and just charges through defenders, we haven't had that for years, and he's great to watch.
I don't think many people have him. You know, what a fortunate loan, really.
If you think of how Leicester's midfield could look unbelievable in 5 years, if you look at the young players they've got alongside him as well.
Yeah.
It's just a shame he's not our player, but we are going to miss him next season either way.
Well, later. Because I look at Leicester and I think, you know, for instance, I see how much time Iheanacho spends in the Leicester team, and I think, well, and why would you have Iheanacho in this team when you've got Harvey Barnes available to you? I am worried about him going back in January. I mean, easy to echo. I mean, everyone makes a Jason Kumas comparison, and I've got lots and lots and lots of time for Kumas. But I mean, even the difference between already Barnes is sort of highlighting himself as someone with greater consistency than Kumas ever really had as well.
Yeah.
You know, if you take the friendly side, he's probably played 13 or 14 games.
Yeah.
He drifts in and out. He ends games worse than he starts them. But I mean, he's pretty consistent.
He does put a lot of yardage in there.
Yeah.
But it's proper.
To reverse, like bringing in Houlihan to replace him is really he's an astute kind of move as well. But no, yeah, he's superb. I just almost wish. I don't know whether or not you started to do this on the weekend. I look at this episode and think, why did Leicester do? And I'm endlessly thinking, well, I wish Leicester would win every single game so that they don't feel that they need him back.
Definitely.
I mean, it's going to be. I suppose here's the next sub question, and I asked this to a prominent Villa fan the other day who gave the right answer. Who's a better player now? Grealish or Barnes?
Barnes, definitely. After Grealish, obviously, Grealish controls games, but he slows the game down as well.
Yes,
is what I've noticed. He doesn't have goals and assists to his game either, really. Barnes is easily better. He has goals, assists. He never slows it down. If anything, he'll drag the game by the scruff of the neck if it's slow, and he'll drag the ball straight up to the forwards. And I think he's head and shoulders above Grealish.
No, well, I'd agree. I'd say Grealish is a player who will probably play for England one day. I'd say Harvey Barnes is England player of the future.
Definitely. It's like that Lukaku Benteke argument Villa and Albin had years ago, isn't it? And although we didn't own, it's the same scenario, we didn't own Lukaku, but he's ended up being a better player. And it's
superb loan he is.
So,
I suppose briefly, I mean, he's not on my list actually, but Houlihan, what do you think?
I wouldn't say we've seen enough of him yet to make a proper assessment, but he seems quite bright actually when he's come on, doesn't he? But like you said, he's perfect for when Barnes is, you know, knackered towards the end of the game,
I think he offers more control in a game. I think he's a player who's capable of keeping the ball. Barnes is he's got sort of barnstorm, you know, he's constantly getting forward and that sort of thing, you know, and often Albin are kind of perhaps winning at that point. Houlihan's quite a calming influence to bring on.
He's diverse. You know, it's diversity as well again, isn't it? Because he can play across that three, really.
Yeah.
If he had to. And he's, you know, I think that's a very clever signing, actually. I know a lot of people was a bit, you know, downhearted with it, but if you think of the impact, he's not going to start games, I don't think.
No.
But as an impact sub, he's one of the best subs you could wish to bring on.
No, it's a good signing. So where do we go next? Townsend. We paid money for him. Let's go for him. What do you think of him?
The Blues game stands out, doesn't it?
Yes.
I was having an argument on Twitter, actually. I do think that Jota was that good that game. I think even Gibbs might have struggled with his movement.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, the best game to come in and show how you could fit in. But I think he's a work in progress again, isn't he? He's like a lot of the signings, he's a young player that, you know, Moore's going to have to work with over a couple of years to see the player he sees, because we can't see it at the minute, obviously.
No.
But you know, he's not terrible. I think his positioning's still off, but like most young players, he doesn't anticipate, you know, the next phase of play as well as Gibbs, but that's to be expected. But if, you know, on the ball, genuinely one-on-one situations, he's been pretty strong when he's played. So, you know, he's not going to start, but he's a decent player to have.
I think he's been unfortunate that, you know, there was a high-profile, you know, televised error that he had. Whereas actually, I mean, he's looked good on the in the League Cup games. He's looked kind of solid. He looks like he's decent on the ball. I don't think Townsend's ever going to play a lot of games for Albion. But I'm not at the point yet now where I would absolutely fear a Gibbs injury. I kind of feel like he looks okay, and I would think he'd kind of grow into the team. On the other side, then, so we've seen a little bit now of Mears. What do you think of Mears?
He's just a signing to, you know, for numbers, isn't it, really, until January, I think. He's not. Especially the way we're playing now, I don't think you can expect Mears to go up and down that line the way Phillips does.
No.
I think if he plays, the sensible thing to do would to drop into a back four again.
Yes, I thought exactly the same.
Moore just seems adamant he's not going to do. So, I'm not, you know, he'll do for now, but I don't think he's someone that's going to feature a lot this season.
What I think, I had no problem, you know, Phillips was injured on the weekend, and I don't know how long he's injured for, but bringing him in for an away game, I think he's kind of acceptable. I don't want to ever see Mears play right wing back at home for the Albion. You know, with teams like relinquishing possession, he just hasn't got the engine to be getting up and down. And I mean, I don't know yet, but I guess when he got there, he probably hasn't got the quality to deliver it really anyway. I'd want to see, you know, if Phillips is injured for Reading at home, I'd rather see Edwards playing there than I would Mears. I don't think Albion can afford to, because he's a defender. I don't think Albion can be afford to run in five defenders at home against teams like Reading, really.
I think the obvious thing to do is to just have a plan B, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, I do think, to be honest, in a back four, I think it'd be okay. But I just, the way we're playing at the minute, I don't see how he can play there comfortably, say, three games in a week.
There's
no way, he won't be able to do it.
You look at the amount of traffic that Phillips gets for him. He's incredible. No, I'd agree. I mean, he's a signing they were kind of forced into, but January's fine for him. And that leaves Adara Bayo, who we've seen a little bit of. Should we be seeing any more of him, do you think?
I think we will see a bit more of him. I think he seems to be a player that would suit the system that we're using at the minute.
Yeah.
The problem is, obviously, he hasn't got that much experience as at the, you know, the, like, the men's game. He's played a lot of under-21 for Man City, but I don't know if Moore is confident in playing him against, you know, like a big striker like Jordan Hugel or someone like that.
Yeah.
Maybe he'd struggle. But in terms of when we've... our problem is, a lot of the time, we might cause our own problems playing out from the back. I think he'd be a lot more comfortable doing it.
I didn't actually see the Palace game. I don't know how he performed, but I didn't get the impression that he was particularly strong in that game.
Yeah.
So, you know, he kind of needs to take the opportunity when he gets there. I mean, as we've already established, I feel like there's a spot in that back line. And I mean, on the face of it, you know, he's a big lad. Mm. He's, and you know, if you're playing next to Dawson and Higazi, you've got kind of physicality there. So there's that opportunity.
It might be like a proactive option, like, rather than, you know, losing out to possession, if you play someone that can play the ball and then you've got Higazi and Dawson either side, maybe it's cancelling out them errors. But, you know, you'll never know, and it's a big gamble to take in the league, isn't it? So I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't see more taking it, but I don't know. It might be a good option later on in the season.
I mean, it's certainly, you know, if we're rating signings, it's obvious that we needed another centre-half, and I'd go further to say we probably needed another one still.
Yeah.
You know, really, you know, when you think about kind of other positions, you've got two men for a position. Well, we have four centre-halves for three positions, don't we? What else? Oh, well, I guess Field, they're dropping a bit, but that's sort of it. We haven't. Have we talked about Dwight Gale?
We haven't.
Well, God, do I love Dwight Gale. Well, I'll go first. What an incredible signing Dwight Gale is. I mean, I really wish that we got him. I can't believe he's always been this good. I feel like he must have come on. He's right at the kind of peak of his career. I can't believe Newcastle would knowingly let a player of this quality go. I can't believe other teams in the Premier League wouldn't have wanted to sign him. Yeah. And there's so many impressive things about him. He creates a penalty every other game for us.
Yeah.
He scores all sorts of goals. He scored poachers' goals. He scored free kicks. He scored goals where he drops deep and gets involved. He runs his absolute heart out. Runs the channels really, really smartly. I mean, he actually makes Joe Rodriguez look lazy. He's that kind of busy. He seems like a good personality around the team, and he's the difference. I think the Albion are top because of Dwight Gale. He's the difference. I seem to remember someone. They said it after the Stoke game. I don't know whether it was Rowett or someone else. That the difference between Albion and Stoke was Gale, and I feel like that's the difference in all the time. You know, it's small margins, really, isn't it? You know. It's 11 men on 11, but our 11 includes Dwight Gale, and if you give him a chance, he'll score. That thing I was saying before about the variety of goals, he started to remind me of Kevin Phillips, and that's sort of the peak of what you can do for me, really. You know, a striker, you just feel like, just give him the ball in the right place and he'll do the right thing. You might not always, but he'll work the keeper, or he'll take it on and win a penalty. He doesn't make bad decisions, I don't think.
Yeah. He's got... Honestly, I just can't see what Newcastle were thinking letting him go. I mean, they've got Rondon's injured now, isn't it? And you know, the way they're struggling for goals, they let Mitch Rich go to Fulham as well. I just don't understand what they were thinking.
No.
And you've got Gale's come down, and he's by far the best. Well, him and Rodriguez are by far the best strikers in that league, and he makes Rodriguez a better player.
Yeah.
Because of all the running he does, the amount of assists he makes. You know, he scores so many goals, but the difference he makes in bringing the midfield and strikers together is exactly what we needed last season. And how he hasn't... I don't know what's happened in terms of the... Because I know he was standout when Newcastle got promoted as well in this league, but what's happened that he hasn't made it in the Premier League? I really don't
know. Well, like I said, I'm certain he must be a better player now than he was, you know, a year or two. He just absolutely must. I know confidence helps strikers, but I even think, because the thing I thought about is that Gale's career has gone downhill because he's one of these players like Darren Bent and Michael Owen that can only really play up front with another man, which of course he does for Albion, but I don't actually think he can only do that. I think his movement's so astute and he's quite strong. I think he wouldn't be dreadful playing behind a striker. He wouldn't be awful playing alone. He would limit him to a certain extent. Be so much. And I mean, Mitrovic, they cover such great. Mitrovic and Gale, being incredible. It must be so annoying. They'd be an amazing strike force.
I really don't see what they're. They've brought themselves that club because how they've let Gale go. He must have been one of those players. You know, you have a player at a club where, you know, he just doesn't seem to be the manager's first choice no matter what he does. I think that's. You know, Gale absolutely ripped this league apart for Newcastle.
Yeah.
And he's doing it again. He's that good. He's so far ahead of anyone in this league that how he's not a Premier League striker, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think if we don't, say if Albion don't go up this year, he's definitely getting interest from the Premier League.
Oh, God, yeah. Yes.
And I think we might have a good chance of keeping him, actually.
I'm absolutely. If you look at the way I'm thrilled that there's no recall on it, because you feel like that would kind of definitely happen.
I mean, Rondon for Gale. You know,
and every week we get paid £40,000 a week for that to happen.
It's ridiculous.
It's brilliant. And I'm really, really chuffed with that sign. I was not massively carried away kind of when it happened. I sort of felt like. Like Stoke were doing kind of bigger business, but God, how wrong was I? I mean, he's a cut above everything in this league, including you know, players in our team. And I've already got this kind of confidence with him. You know, Barnes, it's almost like you're so good, this can't carry on. I mean, I'm starting to think you can, but you know, this seems too. Whereas Gale, it's like Phillips. I just feel like just give him the ball in the right place, and he'll put it in the back of the net.
It just changes games on his own, doesn't it? I think.
Thank God for that. There's the answer to the question. Can I still moan when we're top of the league? I can, but I think overall, you know, it's been some decent business. And I think the point that you made earlier on that probably the board at this point deserve a bit of credit for not getting carried away. I mean, I've said on this podcast before, I saw 15 coming in and 15 going out this summer. Well, that didn't happen. And it wasn't the worst thing. You know, Gibbs looks... If we'd signed a player of Gibbs... Like Gibbs... If we'd signed Gibbs and Phillips over the summer...
Yeah.
We'd be talking about how brilliant the signings they were. You know, Dawson's still got to kind of settle into the team. But we wouldn't have recruited better than him. And I'll give you Kyle Bartley as an example why we wouldn't recruit better than him. They've done some good business, you know. Yeah. They on the face of it, it's, you know, that signing 30 plus players in the you know, who are out of contract looks like kind of the move of a panicky side. And it probably is, but there's some argument to say for the greater good. You know, we do have Jake Livermore, we do have Joe Rodriguez, we do have Higazi to some extent, and that settled a spine that looked like it was going to come, fall apart.
I think it's more every fan wants to see a load of signings come in, but the way the club have gone about this relegation is, you know, a testament to them, really. I think, you know, there's no way we'd have formed a better side than what we had coming down.
No.
And the fact that they've kept, I know, you know, fans wanted to see more back into, well, the thing that signing players was backing more, but I think keeping the bulk of that squad was all the backing more needed, really. And I think everyone's starting to realise that now, because that, even when we're not playing well, we're better than most teams in this league. And I think, you know, it's going to take, we are going to need signing players in January, because we just haven't got the depth to go for the full championship season.
Yeah.
We've been lucky with injuries, but as it stands, I think we'll be in a solid position in January to sign them, those players. And I think, you know, the club in general is just doing everything right at the minute, which is what they needed to do after the last couple of years.
And what do you think about the league? I mean, I keep saying this to rub it into Villa fans in the office. This league, it's not as good as I remember it being, I don't think. And I find it, I almost wonder how Villa are managing to lose so many games.
The quality isn't, you're expecting the quality to be there with the team sheets that you see, but they're just,
no.
I think it's a very defensive league actually as well. Like, there's not many teams that'll attack you like Albion do. I mean, look at Villa now, they're suffering from,
but they're even like, I've got to feel like they're not tactically defensive, you know, really. I thought this year Albion might even do better away from home, when there's some onus on teams to come at them. We've got so many goal scoring threats and a bit of pace that we'll do, but actually we're not struggling to break teams. I never thought we wouldn't break down Millwall, you know. It took a little bit of time, but I just knew we would. We also kind of managed to concede, but yeah, it's not as maybe it's 8 years in the Premier League has done it, but there's some things to get at every championship club, isn't there?
Oh, definitely. And I think, well, Albion included, really.
Yeah.
Back line, so like we knew at the beginning of the season, it's going to be a wide open league, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, there's a meltdown across the road at Villa now, and they're only 4 points behind us, and we're top of the league. So, and where are they? 13th. So it's going to be a long season, and looking forward to it.
Long may it continue with Alan Pardew nowhere near the Hawthorns. alright, well thank you for joining us this week, and we will knowing us probably not be back next week, but at some stage we'll be back again for another Woodman Corner.